Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the last portion of the gospel lesson this morning, which Craig has read, under the theme this morning, Eyes Seeing Jesus. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, maybe you have heard this old saying before, none are so blind as those who will not see. I have no idea who said those words or where those words came from, but if you stop and think about them, these words certainly apply to those religious leaders in Jesus' day and those leaders of today who think they know it all, but they fail to look to the one who has saved them. They look at their own works or their own righteousness. They refuse to see. Therefore, they are truly blind. As you heard with the children a couple of moments ago, each and every one of us here this morning were born blind, spiritually blind. Yet our Lord comes to us as he came to this poor beggar, this poor blind man, and he washes us. He washes us in the waters of holy baptism, and in our baptism our eyes are opened. We are now able to see our Messiah, as this man you will hear will see his Messiah. Our holy triune God gave you and me sight in those words that the children spoke to you. And I praise God that they know those words. In those words, we now can see. Our eyes are truly open. But we know that there is one who doesn't want us to see. We know that the evil one comes into the church, and he tempts you and me, and he tempts us to put a veil over our eyes so that we cannot see. He uses a veil of spirituality, which is pervasive in today's society. In other words, if you're spiritual, that's good. After all, we all worship the same God, don't we? And the answer is no, we don't. There's also this veil of worldly attitudes, which has now come into the church. And that should be abundantly clear to all of us. I don't think I have to tell you those worldly attitudes that have now festered in the church and are actually destroying many churches. Satan is also a master of bringing the veil into the church of false teaching. And with the false teaching comes false teachers, like those teachers which I heard this past week, who said that we all worship the same God. It doesn't matter if you worship Jesus or Allah or any other God. We're all going to the same place, and that is false teaching. That pastor is blind. He thinks he can see, but he's blind. Satan tries to ensnare us, trying to ensnare us into the darkness, trying to trap us in that dark cavern of hell. That's what Satan does, and that's what he's trying to do to each and every one of you, and that includes me also. Thus, the antiphon from our intro this morning. Words that are so true. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release me from the snare. Only Jesus can release you from the snare of Satan. And Jesus has done this here at the cross. Now, it's important for us to remember that we are only hearing about half of the story in the gospel lesson this morning. As you look at your bulletin cover, you see Jesus bending down to heal this poor beggar of a man who is blind. But that's not the whole story. You see, John chapter 9 is all about Jesus and this poor beggarly blind man. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "Look at this man. He's this way because either he sinned or his parents sinned." You see, the Jews believed that sin causes suffering. And especially if you are handicapped, there is a special or a grievous sin that either the parents committed or the person, him or herself, committed. But Jesus answers, no one sinned. Rather, suffering allows us to see God's divine purpose and work. Thus, Jesus comes to this poor blind man. He makes mud with his own spit, plasters the mud onto this man's eyes, and tells him to go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. By the way, Siloam in the Hebrew means one who has been sent. This blind man has been sent. He has been sent to be cleansed. He has been sent to be given sight. And that's what happens at Siloam. Thus, in Jesus speaking these words to him, Jesus gives to him a free gift, the free gift of faith. And in his faith, this man, as the children said, he groped his way to the pool of Siloam. We don't know how he got there, but in faith, he made it. He washed himself, and he could see. Jesus' words are so true. God will work, and God's purpose will happen, because it does have a divine purpose. The divine purpose is to give faith, to proclaim the truth, and to point us, always point us, to the one who has saved this man and who has saved each and every one of you, Jesus Christ himself. Thus, this poor blind man does have faith. As he is washed, he is healed. Suddenly, he can see. And all the people who knew this man, they now realize that he can see. He is called before the religious leaders of the day, and they begin to grill him, wanting to know how he, who was once blind, can now see. They say to him, how then were your eyes opened? And the man gives a faithful witness. The man said, the man that they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. That is a faithful witness. And by the way, it's the truth. So now we come to our text this morning. You have heard what happens from that point on after the man's washed and called before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders of the day. But what we notice here is this man, a poor beggar of a man who is blind, he has been rejected. He's been rejected by his parents. He's been rejected by society. He's been rejected by the religious leaders of the day. He's been abandoned. He's left to beg. Just as Luther wrote that we are also beggars. It may even seem to us that this man has been deserted by Jesus. Jesus is nowhere mentioned at all when this man is called before the religious leaders. There's no one to defend him, including the Lord. But Jesus is always with him. You see, my friends, the same happens with you and me. These tests of faith will come into our lives. We are tested with disease or sickness. We are tested with the death of a loved one or a friend. The Lord tests our faith, and he has the right to do this. Just as he tested Abraham, here he tests this man. He has given him faith. Now it's time for him to prove that that faith is genuine. And the man passes the test. He goes and washes. Yet he is still tested. Tested by the authorities. He's even tested by his parents. His parents say, ask him, he's old enough. His own parents won't even defend him. Yet the man withstands every test. He withstands every trial. He withstands the rage of unbelievers. Yes, those who thought they could see, they were actually blind. Spiritually blind men, the religious leaders of Israel, truly unbelievers. Finally, what happens to the man? They throw him out. Essentially, he is excommunicated. He is never allowed again, ever, to come into the temple. The man is thrown out because he is told the truth. My friends, the same will happen to you eventually. You will be tested by unbelievers. You must withstand each and every rage that they set against you. And as you withstand, your faith will be tested and your faith will be strengthened. The Lord has promised to do this. Just as the Lord, when he gave faith to this man, comes to him again. The Lord heard that they had thrown him out. So when Jesus found him, what did Jesus say? Do you believe in the Son of Man? A question that he could certainly ask each and every one of us. Do you believe in the Son of Man? You see, the truth seeks, and the truth will always find. And in this case, it was for the second time that the truth had found this man. Thus, we have our sermon hymn this morning. And the first stanza of the hymn is oh so true. Jesus will save his honor. He will hear your cry for help. And help he will afford. Jesus tenderly asked this man, do you believe in the Son of Man? Jesus is asking if he believes in the coming Messiah. You see this phrase, Son of Man, the Jews knew exactly what that meant. It comes from Daniel chapter 7. And when the Jews heard Son of Man, they immediately thought of, and they knew that it meant, the Messiah. Jesus is asking this man, do you believe in the Messiah? The man's answer is again, oh so true. And Jesus responds to him by saying, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Those words are quite similar to what you heard last week. As Jesus was talking to this woman at the well, Jesus speaks those holy words, ego I me, Yahweh, I am he. Here Jesus is saying to this man, I am the one, I am the Son of Man. You see, Jesus has now given this man physical sight, but he's also given to him something much more important. He has given him spiritual eyes to truly see the truth, to truly see his Messiah. Jesus drew this man to himself. Jesus drew him in personally, and he strengthens his faith by proclaiming to him that he is the Messiah. And what does the man do? He falls and worships him. He worships his Messiah. Jesus doesn't ask him to worship. It is because of the Holy Spirit that this man worships the Messiah. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that you worship the Messiah. For we know that he is the way and the truth and the life. He also, the Lord, strengthens your faith as he strengthened the faith of this man. How does the Lord strengthen your faith? Well, it begins at baptism. And each time, each morning as you rise, you can make the sign of the cross and remember your baptism. And as you heard with the children, each time that you take a shower or a bath, it should remind you of your baptism. That's the strengthening of your faith. On the first Sunday or on special feast days of the church, we come here to the altar. And the Lord serves you his body and blood for the strengthening of your faith. You are now hearing the preached word designed to strengthen your faith. We know these as the means of grace. It is through the means of grace that God uses to strengthen your faith and to proclaim something very important to you, the forgiveness of all your sin. Jesus said at the beginning of chapter 9, specifically verse 5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he closes our text this morning by saying, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. These words fit together. You and I know, my friends, because I do too, we hurt like crazy. We hurt because of our sin. We hurt because of this inner darkness that is in us that leads us to do things that we don't want to do, but we do them anyway. We say the words we shouldn't say. We do the actions that we know we shouldn't do, but we do them. Not only does it affect you, yes, it affects me, and it even affects our seminarian. It truly does. Yet Jesus brings light. Jesus shines the light on you and me. We who were once trapped in that dungeon of condemnation. Here at the font, Jesus shines the light on you, and he shows you the light at the end of the tunnel, which, by the way, isn't a little pinprick. It is a floodlight that floods you with his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. He floods us with his loving promises and his perfect plan of your salvation, just as he did for this poor beggar of a man. God opens our eyes to see what we need to see most. He opens our eyes to see a precious promise contained throughout the pages of Holy Scripture. And that precious promise is that if Jesus came, he came to wash you, he came to give you his body, he came to give you his blood, all for the forgiveness of your sins. And as the hymn tells us this morning, forgive, O Lord, our sins forgive. Grant us thy grace and let us live. Thanks be to Jesus, for he has certainly given us eyes to see, and in seeing him, we see our Messiah. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.